Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier with your Aries Equinox Gateway Astrology and Energy Forecast for the upcoming season. Hello, and happy to be with you in this moment. And I would love it if we would all just take a few deep breaths. In Hebrew, the word for breath is ruach, and it is the same word for spirit. So at any moment when you need to connect to yourself, to go down and in and connect to your spirit, you can always just take a few deep breaths. It's so helpful and so simple. I'm going to be interspersing this talk with lots and lots of ways that you can very quickly shift your energy into a place of finding stillness and reconnecting with the love in your heart, as we're going to need it. We need it. Lots going on. So I'd like also to take a moment for you to send your root systems down to the bottoms of your feet and down from the base of your spine, down to the floorboards, into the dirt, through the dirt and the rocks, into the molten core of the earth. Just saying hello to Gaia, spirit of the earth, who loves to be acknowledged, appreciated, and connected with. And just take a moment to take any worries or mental, you know, overthinking at the moment and just send that down. She loves to take this and really transmute it, to compost it, and it's food for her. She transmutes it into just neutral energy. And why don't you just bring her hello up those root systems into your body, filling your body with the spirit of the earth, her color is green, a crystalline green that is renewing and repairing and revitalizing. Just see this crystal green light filling your whole body. Getting grounded. The energy of this season is not very grounded. So we need to take extra time in the day, just a few minutes, to ground ourselves. What we just did is one way. Another way that I really love is I love to take walks in the woods. And I always ask the trees if I can connect to them. And I connect my root system to their root system. You know, they communicate with each other all the time, supplying each other with nourishment and nutrients and medicine when one becomes sick. And so I'll often ask to become like them. Humans have a lot to learn from trees. And when I walk through the trees, I can really feel them helping me to clear what needs to be cleared and helping me come to a point of stillness within myself and rootedness. Sometimes I'll sit at the base of a tree and just ask the tree to help me ground. And if you want to be helpful and supportive to those who are suffering immensely in the world right now with war, you can radiate that peace that you find, that groundedness that you find, just radiate it out and think of a country or a city and just see it, the earth energies coming up, the green, and allow and just see yourself radiating. It's not about sending, and it's not about putting your energy in harm's way. It's just about bringing to mind those that may be in need. You can also do this by connecting to your the love in your heart. So we can take a moment and invite our oversoul field, luminous being of light that sources us into this life, that is our guide for this life, that is filled with love, compassion, wisdom. At the moment of your birth, this oversoul luminous field of light connected into your heart like a little sun. So you can just take a moment whenever needed to connect to that sun in your heart and just invite it to become bigger and bigger and bigger, like the rays of the sun radiating effortlessly through you, becoming like a star, no effort. And you can radiate that light. One of my teachers, Sandra Ingerman, calls this healing with spiritual light. She's done some research, and she's found that if you take, say, for example, a Dorito, and you photograph it with a camera that will measure light waves, it has very little light. But if you just take 5 minutes and radiate light and just become aware of a Dorito, say, at a hotel in another city, and just bring that into your field of awareness, 10 minutes later, that Dorito will have a luminous field of light. It is effortless on our parts, and we can do this. It is supportive, and there are so many supportive things that we can do right now through prayer, through art and music, and also through getting involved with different organizations that are finding tangible and concrete and physical ways to support. But we can also do this, whether it's for a friend going through a hard time, our own dear selves, or a war-torn country. So let's get back to the equinox. Oh, a couple other things that I like to do. I also love to invite the element of water into my life. And I will do this through either visualizing a waterfall, or where I live, there's lots of streams and rivers. And I'll walk by the stream or the river, and I'll just invite that water into the crown of my head and just feel it clearing me and feeling the cool current. Very helpful. If you don't live near water, obviously you can wash your hands, you can take a bath or a shower, or you can visualize a waterfall or find a waterfall that's been photographed and just ask to merge with that field of water for clearing. Other thing I want to tell you about is that lemon balm, either in a tea, a tincture, or an essential oil, is really good for relaxing the nervous system. And also, it's really good for nightmares, if you're having nightmares. As an essential oil, it's called Melissa. So, to the equinox. The equinox occurs, the Aries equinox, when the sun moves into 0 degrees Aries. And this year, it is March 20th. It is the birthday of a new season, but it's also the beginning of the astrological new year, because 0 degrees Aries is the beginning of a new season, of a new year in astrology. And so what happens around this time does set the template for the year, certainly for the season. So at the Aries equinox, the sun tracks along the equator. And this lowers the Earth's magnetic grid, which is a protective shield that, when down, allows more of the galactic frequencies and energy to come in. Equinox is also a time of equal balance of day and night. inviting us to balance the shadow and the light within ourselves and on our planet now, and balance the masculine and feminine within us. The equinoxes bring in more light energy for us to connect with and invites us to create more balance within our lives. I want you to imagine a grid of light that connects us all. In Hawaiian shamanism, they call this the Aka field. And sometimes in the visionary states of consciousness, we can see this Aka field. It's a grid of light that connects everything to everything. In this field, there are a lot of power surges right now happening. And you want to be really careful about what you are putting into the collective field. And so it's a really important time to do your own work of releasing what is coming up, because in these high, high energy fields, it really does pull up discordant energy within us to be felt and released. And when you are willing to take responsibility for what you are putting into the field, it helps. Every drop in the bucket helps. In the equinox, dense energy comes up that's congealed, unfelt trauma. And it is definitely being constellated by the very specific alignments that are happening at this time. The birth chart for this season, and I'll get into the details of that in a moment. I want to tell you about someone named Maury Duff, who is someone who measures the ley lines of the earth and the magnetic fields of the earth. And he is able to measure that the magnetic fields of the earth are changing dramatically. And that, in fact, every 12,000 years, the protective shields around the earth and around the sun come down, allowing more galactic light and cosmic rays and gamma rays to come through. This is happening all the time now. We are in that period of time, and it is measurable. But at the solstices and equinoxes, it's even more amplified. This galactic energy awakens within us dormant traits like telepathy, empathy, clairvoyance, psychic abilities, spiritual awakening, deep heart-centered knowing, deep connection. You know, the Mayan calendar ended in 2012, which means a new calendar begins. And I sometimes think about the Western calendar, BC and AD. Something happened to create a shift in consciousness such that the calendars in Western civilization changed. So now we mark our time in AD. And I want you to consider that we're living in a time that 1,000 years from now, people will probably notice we'll have changed the calendar because we are marking a new time, a new beginning. But it takes several hundred years to go through this. And we're right in the midst of that now. These gamma rays, these cosmic rays that are coming through, really bring with them the felt sense and the awareness that we are all connected. We're connected to that web. And we must learn how to navigate this new consciousness where everything is connected. It can be very challenging. Sometimes people experience when this is happening, when there's a lot of solar flares, as there are right now, and the shields are down and this galactic energy is coming in even more than normal, we can experience headaches or dizziness or fogginess or energy surges and or fatigue or feeling a pulsing of energy. And it's so important to stay connected to yourself. Again, to find the still point in all of this motion to community, to nature. and to continually learn how to release our traumas instead of projecting them onto the collective. And it's also to be mindful of what you're connecting to. And to, you know, some of the things that we went through in the beginning of this call are ways to stay connected to yourself, to clear some energy, and to radiate light. I am in no way suggesting that you don't feel all of the anger and the grief and the anguish that comes up. That's coming up now for so many people in response. So many hearts are broken by the suffering we're witnessing in the Ukraine and outrage on attacks on innocent civilians. And there is also an outpouring of love, of creativity, of music, and a united worldwide call for peace and people finding practical, meaningful ways of helping, which includes finding organizations that are assisting in ways that meet your values and group meditations, connecting to your own inner light. So the other thing I wanted to tell you is that we have been in a very deep plutonian process since 2007 when Pluto was squaring Uranus, and then Pluto was conjunct Saturn, and then Saturn was square Uranus. And all of this is sort of still with us. And I'll tell you what this means in English in a moment. And also the United States just began our Pluto return, which will never happen in your lifetime unless you live to be, you know, 270 something years. But, Pluto is returning to its place in the United States natal chart that it was when the United States was birthed. And so a lot of people are worried about this, but I just want to tell you, we've been in this for a while, because we've been in these cycles really since 2007 of a very deep cultural wave of transformation, a renewal of strengthening our will and flushing to the surface the shadow. And so the United States is really being called to continue to remain open to seeing what remains in our shadow, to be acutely felt and transmuted and transformed, so that we align and express the higher values of fairness and justice and equality for all. The birth of so many social movements and social unrest is part of this. And seeing, you know, I don't need to go into all the details of what we've already been experiencing over the years of seeing where there isn't justice, where there isn't peace, where there isn't equality, where there is toxic masculinity embedded in the very structures of our consciousness, of our government, and of all of our systems. And all of this is being flushed to the surface, revealed and felt, so that we can change. And of course, these systems are so firmly and deeply entrenched and have so much power, it takes a while to change them. So in a Pluto cycle, one of the hallmarks of a Pluto cycle is the acute perception of what is missing and all of the feelings that come up about that. And in a Pluto cycle, what makes it so transformative is we cannot avoid facing our feelings. And we cannot avoid seeing and experiencing what must be seen and experienced in order to create lasting change. So now we get to the actual chart of this equinox. So the sun is at 0 degrees Aries, fire, new beginnings. The energy is moving really quickly when the sun reaches Aries. And in Chinese medicine, this is also a season where the energy is in the liver, the wood element. And the color for this is green. So it's also so helpful to imagine that green current flowing through your body. And when the liver is when the wood element becomes imbalanced, we experience an excess of anger and frustration. And like a hot-headedness, heat can rise. But when the liver is balanced, this transforms into kindness and a sense of flow. And every year in the spring, the energy is concentrated in this element. And a lot of times people experience depression because this element isn't flowing. It's almost as if the ice of the winter is melting the river, and all of the debris and the dirt that were held in the ice starts to flow. But if you're not able to flow, if you're trying to hold on or suppress, or there's a lot of toxicity in the body, it can really be very, give rise to depression and anger and a feeling of pain in the body and joint pain and fatigue. So movement is really helpful. Shaking and dancing is really helpful, and drinking lots of water and doing some cleanses. And again, focusing on that green current flowing through your body. And to just be aware that this happens every time this year, and to find ways to create more balance and flow in your life and to feel what's coming up, because that's how it moves. So the moon at the time of the equinox, which is 11:33 in the morning on the Eastern time, the moon is in Libra. Libra is all about a desire for fairness and balance and justice. And it is about creating liberating, conscious, healthy, non-hierarchical relationships and beauty. So we have some challenging aspects to the moon. The moon is squared by Pluto. It is opposite Eris and conjunct a dwarf planet named Haumea. So when the moon is squared by Pluto, we have those Plutonian energies, these really deep shifts, a lot of emotion, intense emotion, and the acute perception of what is missing. And what is missing is that what we're experiencing is those Libra qualities of fairness and beauty and balance and justice and non-hierarchical relationships and structures. Wherever that we feel that's not happening, there's an awareness and a lot of emotion and a lot of clearing around that happening. And Eris is a goddess that has to do also with a very strong awakener for justice and liberation and freedom, but also is associated with social movements and revolutionary energies. And then we have the dwarf planet Haumea, which I want to talk to you about. I haven't talked to you about her. So there is, I looked her up, and Kelly Hunter is someone who's done a lot of research on these dwarf planets that are in the far out zone of our solar system called the Kuiper Belt, beyond Pluto, beyond the beyond the beyond. And she is associated with quantum creativity. She is the goddess that is the Hawaiian fertility goddess. And she is a new archetype. She was discovered as a planet, as a dwarf planet in 2005. And whenever planets are discovered, it's constellating that archetype. It's time for us to assimilate this archetype. And she is associated with creative new energy and birthing new kinds of abundance and new kinds of systems of bringing food and new templates and new grids and innovation. She has a Malachi wand that summons food and creates food out of nothing. So a lot of these dwarf planets have been named after deities from indigenous cultures, creator gods and goddesses, rather than the Greco-Roman pantheon, which is representing a huge major shift in our collective consciousness by bringing in this indigenous energy. These energies operate from higher dimensions and increase our alignment between science and spirituality. So this beautiful goddess Haumea of fertility and childbirth, children spring from all parts of her body. The planetoid Haumea is egg-shaped rock, but on the surface of her is ice. She has two moons, which are her daughters, and one is connected to the earth, and one is connected to the element of the water, and they shimmer. They shimmer like snowflakes shimmering in the sun. And she gives birth to every mineral, flora, fauna, human, and other. Her daughter, one of her daughters, is Pele, the volcano goddess. She enjoys the ecstasy of creating and generating life. And she's able to generate food out of nothingness. She has become a symbol of the new earth. She has been reborn again and again and again. And she knows how to go through this process. She attends to all dimensions of the creative process, including knowing which seeds to nurture and to work with. Her shadow side is that she has a tendency to get involved with too many ideas and too many projects. What she looks like, the images of her, is a pregnant woman with flowers around her neck, rainbow behind her, a beautiful fruit tree behind her, fish jumping in the ocean. She is the very symbol of abundance, fertility, innovation, creating new grids, creating new templates. She is the quantum creatrix. And so that energy is conjunct the moon. So you've got this Plutonian intensity, acute perception of what's missing, the necessity to engage the shadow and what stands in the way. Richard Tarnas calls this the center of the crucible of the underworld. And at the same time, the light of the moon is illuminating this beautiful fertility goddess. So those are just some images for you to work with. And another aspect of this chart is that Venus and Mars are conjunct in Aquarius. Venus and Mars have been together for several months. They were retrograde, and I talked about this in the winter solstice. I don't want to go back into that. But it's really all about coming to a new understanding about our relationships. And it's a release point to find more connection so that we can find more connection to community, higher truth, higher love, innovative ways to be in relationship with ourselves and others, our humanitarian ideals. So what's happening, and it's important, so with Mars and Venus in Aquarius, it's really an invitation to remind yourself that it's okay to find another perspective, to find a perspective that brings more freedom, innovation, and consciousness into your relationships, and also to appreciate what makes you unique rather than something that might make you feel alone. This is associated with flashes of inspiration, intuition, and creative genius. Seeing things from a much higher perspective is what Aquarius is about, and finding ways to bring higher truth, higher love, and higher consciousness into our relationships. Now, what is happening around the equinox is that right before the equinox, Venus is squared by Uranus, and after, on March 22nd, Mars is squared by Uranus. And Uranus and Aquarius are very similar. And this is activating a longer cycle that we've been in all through 2021, and it's continuing through 2022, which is the planet Saturn squaring Uranus. And this equinox is activating that energy, which I have been speaking about in all, you know, but I'll go over it again. You can think of Saturn as the old ways, the old structures. and Uranus as new innovation. Progressive, new ideas. Saturn, the old order and the old structures that are unraveling and yet resistance to change. Saturn can be rigid. But Saturn can also support us in building those new structures, bringing wisdom. But because there's this square happening, there's this clash between the old and the new that we're seeing everywhere in our culture, all over the place. And it is really asking us to find a synthesis, how to create healthy structure for these new, innovative, progressive ideas to birth. Now, when Mars is squaring Uranus, it really does tend to bring out a lot of turbulence, a lot of instability. It's really associated with volcanic eruptions and earthquakes, violence, impatience, impulsivity, explosions. Unstable situations and people will become more unstable unless they are really supported to find stability. This is why I began this talk with the need to be careful and to find your still point in the midst of a lot of motion and chaos. So this Aquarian energy has this urge for freedom, to form new relationships and new agreements and collaborations. And both Saturn, both Uranus and Aquarius have this brilliance, this ingeniousness, this inspired, this ability to shake loose what no longer serves. And really to shake loose those deeply entrenched patterns within yourself, within your own electrical grid, within the electrical grid of the earth, which is why when these two come together, it really is associated with if there is deeply entrenched, stuck holding patterns, it's going to move. And it could move through explosions and eruptions. The plates of the earth can no longer hold the tension and they move. There was an earthquake in Japan last week. And we're having explosions all over Ukraine. We are having the world order totally destabilized right now through violence and misguided, violence. But this energy is also associated with quantum leaps and shifts and energy upgrades. It's associated with crisis and crisis management, breakdowns and breakthroughs. This energy, this with this Uranian energy and this Aquarian energy and the square, it's active right now, really is associated with changes in our own electrical grid. And that's what I wanted to tell you about Rory Duffy, to say, wow, even scientists are able to measure this, that this is happening now. But the Mars-Uranus square is a trigger point. It's active and dynamic and fast-moving, and is constantly looking for release points. And these release points, like I said, can be destabilizing and erratic and violent and eruptive and explosive, but they can also be, depending on your level of consciousness and where you are in your life, if you've been doing your inner work and clearing out and focusing on and finding that things haven't been moving, this can be a time where there are breakthroughs, where there are flashes of intuition and insight and genius, and certainly an outpouring of humanitarian ideals. It can be time to act on inspirations if you've already laid the foundations and have a clear view. This is also something that is associated with clearing out old toxic patterns that are held within our masculine and feminine structures. How do you or do you not truly value yourself? This can be liberating and opening and help you shake things loose, but it's also a time this whole season of being careful, wearing your bicycle helmet, thinking things through, and again, finding that still point within yourself and getting grounded during wildly challenging and chaotic times that are designed to bring about change and breakthrough. Let's see. The other thing, the other part of this chart that I wanted to talk to you about is, and this has been active February, March, April, May, you know, spring, is that we have Neptune and Jupiter in Pisces, and at the Aries equinox, Mercury is there as well. And we're going to have this conjunction of Jupiter and Neptune in April. April, it'll be exact April 18th to 23rd, but we've been experiencing it February, March, all spring. It's very active right now. Neptune speaks to us through visions and dreams and the imagination and synchronicities. Neptune is the language of the spirit. That oversoul field, that quantum field, that most trusted guide that has birthed us into our life is associated with this, that light in our heart, the higher mind, inner guidance, inner wisdom. However, if you try to figure this out with your head, you're going to get overwhelmed. It's not a mental at all. It is heart-centered. It is about knowing through your heart. Think of yourself as floating on the water effortlessly. It's best to enjoy the sensations of being supported and how it feels to float and observe what happens to your mind, how it quiets, and the visions that come, which is different than while you're in this, which we are all in this, literally, trying to figure it out. Will it feel good? Will it feel bad? How do I keep this going? How do I make this work for next time? What is this happening? How do I write it down? All of that will actually, you know, you'll just sink quickly overwhelmed. So Neptune is associated with the water element. Jupiter is in Pisces, and Jupiter expands what it touches. And Jupiter is conjunct Mercury in Pisces, which is really magnetic creative thinking, imagination. This expands our ability to perceive through our intuition and through our hearts. It can also lead to confusion, delusion, a sense of not knowing because the mind wants to know and isn't going to have clarity of the mind, and then a reaction to the not knowing. Sometimes you will feel foggy during all of this Pisces and Neptune. So there's a lot of water, and some of the beings associated with Neptune is Kuan Yin, dolphins, mermaids, whales. It's a shimmering, light-filled, peaceful energy. It is the healing balm of water and the imagination and our creativity. So Neptune conjunct Jupiter, which is the major signature for the spring. Jupiter is big. It is expansive. It is about benevolence and grace. Jupiter bestows blessings, idealism, generosity, and goodwill. Jupiter is associated with the spiritual teacher who really enjoys being in Pisces and teaching about mysticism and oneness and unity consciousness. And through creativity, teaches us to engage our compassion, our heart connection to all that is, and trusting our intuition and our inner guidance. Jupiter in Pisces is asking us to look for wisdom in all things. How is this my teacher? Whatever you encounter, whatever is happening, how is this experience teaching us to expand our love, our compassion, our creativity, and our connection? And we certainly are seeing waves and waves and waves of hope, not hope necessarily, of compassion and love outpouring in the face of unspeakable cruelty. Neptune is also, this energy, Jupiter in Neptune, Pisces conjunct Neptune, is also associated with synchronicities. Look for synchronicities in your life, in visions, and it really helps to imagine the world you want to see. This is an energy of dissolving borders and is associated with massive migration, enhanced dream states. It is an invitation to show up with a new sense of love and compassion, grounded in your heart, sensing your heart and your inner guidance, and connecting to your inner world. It is also about accepting our human foibles and our imperfections. A deeper acceptance and embracing of the human condition and all of the predicaments of being a human in wildly challenging times. This is inviting us to release self-abandonment, self-judgment, and feelings of victimization, that sense of not enoughness, and the mistaken belief that we need to hold on to our old wounds and hurts. This alignment invites us to release and to dissolve into a river of love, and to ask yourself, what patterns exhaust you? How do you disperse and dissipate your energy in ways that are not serving you? This is about dissolving, releasing, and choosing to find a higher path for yourself. This is a pattern that invites us to release how we may be holding on to being a victim and trusting that you do not need to have all the answers. You do not need to save the world. There are things that you cannot change, but you can surrender to love anyway. This wave, and it is a wave that's coming in with this equinox of love energy that is helping you to release and to open you to grace of new possibilities and bigger transmissions of the divine. It is a river that is clearing out old heavy energies and is asking you to find support within yourself in feeling stable in the midst of the unknown and in the midst of big emotions. We lose a lot of energy through resentment, judgment, and replaying our stories over and over again. And this wave of spiritual light is coming like a medicinal balm to assist us in disrupting this pattern and opening to our beauty and magnificence, even in the midst of such wildness. And to open up to the magnificence of every soul that is here, and to recognize that the basic force of all of our higher selves, that is in all of our hearts, is love, no matter how evil a person's behavior is. This is an expression of their distortion from their true nature, just like we all have distortions from our true nature. And this is about not condoning terrible, horrible actions, but by understanding that we all have a toxic energy within us that can behave in cruel ways, that can hurt others, or that replays old hurts again and again, where we end up putting into the Akka field, into that web that connects us all, we end up putting that that hard, toxic energy in without realizing it sometimes. And so this is inviting us to take that moment and clear ourselves, to detoxify, and to put into the field more love, and to connect to that field of love that is always available, while at the same time holding space for the hurt to be felt and loved by you. The worst part of our behaviors and our actions and our thoughts do not get better by judgment. They get better by holding compassion and love. That just allows the energy to move and to tap into a new way of being. So it may bring up, what did I do or not do in the past? Awakening means being present with whatever is arising, whether it's painful, whether it's beautiful, and to embrace our pain, the pain of being human, as part of the human condition, rather than evidence that there's something wrong with you. So those are the main energies. A lot going on. And the more that you can find that quiet, connect to nature, connect to yourself, you may feel a lot of confusion and a sense of being flooded with emotions throughout the spring and wanting to figure things out that cannot be known with the mind. It's like letting the currents move you to where you need to be rather than needing to figure everything out. Okay, so that's all for now. Sending lots of love to you.